Hello again, wrestling fans. Welcome again to Who Slamming Who, Poetry in Motion. My name is Lanny Poffo, and Jeff Dougherty, where in the world are you?
Montague, Prince around, same as always. You ever have one of those things where you know you got a sneeze coming on and you're just battling it off? You want to either come and sneeze or go away? That's what I'm battling right now. So if you hear a big sneeze, that's what's going on.
55 years old, and it's never happened to me.
Never happened to you? Well, aren't you special?
I consider myself quite special.
What's going on today? What?
What's going on? I'm a little bit... I just got off the plane. I just came back from Cincinnati.
You sound all energized and you know, hyped up there, so fun must be going on.
I'm not energized. I'm just pretending to be. I'm a little droopy.
Oh, okay.
I was in Cincinnati to watch the Cincinnati Reds versus the Colorado Rockies, courtesy of my very good friend, the first baseman and all-star, Mr. Joey Votto, who was nice enough to give my daughter, myself, and her friend backstage passes, or let's say dugout passes.
I was gonna say.
And he took us for a tour of the batting cage and the x-ray room and the weight room and the place where the Cincinnati Reds dine and everything. And then he told us to get the help. No, he said, go.
Get out your jabronis.
Yeah, we were jabronis then. And then we went back to our seats and we watched the game. And the Cincinnati Reds defeated the Colorado Rockies 8-1. And I have to admit that it was about 40,000 people in the audience. And at the eighth inning, I said, okay, let's take a vote. Do you want Hulkamania to run wild on us, or do you want to get the hell out right now? So we got the – I said, you know, the Reds have won. They've already put in the scrubs. You know, and I know that sometimes when you do that, like I know a guy that missed that big home run in 1988 with the Los Angeles Dodgers, Kirk Gibson. I can't believe what I just saw. And he missed it because he left.
Well, my dad's done the same thing many times when back when I was a little kid. You know, he and his buddies would go to Fenway Park in Boston on a hot summer day, and things wouldn't be going so well for the Red Sox. And they'd leave somewhere around the seventh inning because they figured they could go hit a bar and have a few beers and beat the traffic. And they'd no sooner be out onto Lansdowne Street, and they'd hear the cheers from the crowd. The Red Sox would hit like a dramatic home run and win it in the ninth inning or something while they were not even a block away from the park. So, as a matter of fact, my best friend and his wife from PEI here were down in Boston currently, and he was texting me a couple nights ago from Fenway Park. They were there for the Red Sox and Rangers, and the Red Sox were down 7-1 in the seventh inning. He texted me that they left. I said, you know, how can you leave Fenway Park, whether they're winning or not? You know, it's just the atmosphere. I'd stay there until they shut the lights out. So, but not everybody wants to do that. So they headed out early. So, but it sounds like you had a fantastic time, and very nice of Mr. Votto to invite you up there and show you around and take you on a tour and have you as a guest for the game.
Yeah, and he couldn't have been nicer. He was totally, the hospitality of this guy was terrific. Of course, he is a Canadian, right?
Oh, yeah, I heard that.
Yeah, he's from Etobicoke, which is a suburb of Toronto.
Oh, my God.
And I thought you would take credit for the hospitality of you guys, you know. Anyway.
I'm not a Canadian. You keep getting that wrong all the time. I just live here. Well, I guess I'm half Canadian because my dad's Canadian and I have dual citizenship. So, but I was born in the States and I consider myself an American by blood and by birth, and I bleed red, white, and blue, and all that good stuff. So, anyway, there you go. So I'll claim some of the hospitality.
You bleed red, white, and blue?
Sure.
Well, you should see a hematologist about that. But anyway, never mind that. Ask me what I'm going to be doing.
When? What are you going to be doing?
Well, you should know you're my webmaster. July 22nd, which is a Thursday, I'm going to Somerset, Kentucky to wrestle at the Pulaski County Fair. And then from there, I'm flying to Erie, Pennsylvania to film Ninja, Prophecy of Death.
Now, I've had courtesy of Mr. Poffman. I don't know if I'm supposed to reveal this, and if not, we can edit this later on, but I've had an occasion to kind of have a peek at what this little plot line of the movie here, and this looks like it's going to be a classic. I can't wait for this thing to come out.
Well, first I have to get to Erie, Pennsylvania, and the guy that, of course, I made the movie Curse of the Wolf. These are the same people, and they asked me if I would like to, and I said, sure, why not? I said I had one stipulation when I found out what my character was doing. I said, can my character's name be Angelo? I just wanted my father's name to be in it. And just as a courtesy to me, my character's name is Angelo.
Oh, excellent. What a nice tribute to your dad to have your character named after him. That's a really nice idea.
Well, you know, I don't know if he wants to be a part of Ninja Prophecy of Death, but...
Well, are you going to be a ninja in this, Lanny, or are you going to battle ninjas, or...?
I'm going to be a mobster.
Are you a mobster? Okay. So where do the mobsters... Well, I guess we can't get into that too much, because we don't want to give away the whole movie. We want people to actually go out and buy it to get the whole full experience. We don't want them to know what's going to happen, so...
Just
like
to tease them.
Exactly. You know, little, get them excited about Ninja Prophecy of Death when it hits video stores near you, and it's going to be a good film. I love Curse of the Wolf. I know you are less than complimentary of your performance in the movie, but I thought it was fantastic, so I really enjoyed it. I watched it several times.
Well, I like the people I work with. Let's put it this way. I hope I learn from my performance in Curse of the Wolf and become a better actor this time. And, you know, we'll see if I'm growing or shrinking as an actor.
Ah.
I'm a little bit derogatory on my own performance sometimes, and I would like to someday be a better actor, and hopefully this will be the day.
Well,
there are a lot of nice people there. I look forward to working with them again. The funny thing is the director's name is Lenny, and everybody kept saying Lenny, and I kept saying what?
Getting everybody confused, yeah. It's, you know, where the names are so close. And I'm sure the name is said many times during the day on a movie set, so.
Please.
And the other interesting thing, too, is that you know, even though these are small movies, you never know who's going to see it and who's going to maybe have another project for you or for anybody else in these movies. So it's always good to, you know, that you take these roles, no matter, you know, how big or small they may be, because they can all be stepping stones for other things. It's like in a case of, you know, when a lot of wrestlers out there are younger, you know, maybe some of them don't want to wrestle in these small indie federations for, you know, $25 a night in front of, you know, 30 people, but they have to realize that that's where everything starts, and you never know who's going to see you where, and if you go out there every night, whether it's 10 people in the crowd or whether it's 1,000 people, if you give your all every night, because you never know when there's going to be one member in that audience who may be a scout for a bigger organization, and, you know, if you put your best foot forward and put on a hell of a performance, then that could be your stepping stone to something bigger. So same thing could go with these movie roles, and you never know what could come along down the road.
Well, staying home is never the answer. Going out and trying, even though you fail, might be the answer. You see what I mean?
Exactly.
If you don't try, you'll never fail, but you'll never win.
Exactly.
So
you get no shot at doing well.
That's right. Anyway... So what's going on in the world of wrestling?
I'm very excited, actually, for once in a while. Tonight is the Money in the Bank pay-per-view for WWE, and I'm going to watch this one. There's a couple of Money in the Bank ladder matches. Are you familiar with those? These are kind of a new concept, and
no,
I know you don't watch a whole lot of product.
I really don't know much about them. You tell us.
Well, what they do is it's, okay, you're familiar with a ladder match, obviously, where they have a ladder surrounding the ring, and they've got a belt usually hanging from a cable above the center of the ring, and you've got to take the ladder and get up and undo the belt and take possession of the belt, and you win. Well, what they've been doing, it's been mainly at WrestleMania the past several years. There's always one Money in the Bank match where there's 6 or 8 competitors. It's a ladder match as such, but there's a briefcase hanging instead of a belt. What that does is the competitor who obtains the briefcase has a contract to fight any champion anytime of their choosing over the next 365 days of the year. And what they usually will do is they'll wait till the end of a big, hard-fought, bloody match when, you know, the champion's just gone through, you know, hell in a main event, and he's laying there bloodied and beaten in the corner, and all of a sudden, you know, Buddy decides to come out onto the stage with a referee and says, I want to cash it in, because the other guy's already had the crap beat out of him for, you know, half an hour. And they come in there and they do a few moves and boom, it's all over and they get a new champion. So, but tonight they're having a couple of Money in the Bank matches, and that's the whole basis of the new pay-per-view. They've changed some of the pay-per-views around in name and concept, and tonight is Money in the Bank, and it looks like it should be a pretty good event. I'm looking forward to it. There's a lot of interesting, you know, high-flying moves and such in the Money in the Bank ladder matches, so I'm expecting a lot of that tonight, and everybody's going to be going all out, and, you know, some of the younger players are going to step up, I'm sure, tonight and try to make a name for themselves, and it should be a very, very interesting show.
Well, do me a favor. Take notes when you see it, and make sure you give your synopsis next week on Poetry in Motion.
Oh, you know I will.
Because there's a lot of fans that are interested in what you say, because you seem to be like, you're like a Siskel Ebert drama critic of wrestling.
Well, I'm going to tell it like it is, you know, as far as that goes. I'm a fan, first and foremost. And, you know, like I say, I've had a small involvement in the wrestling industry with helping promote some local shows and such. And, you know, and so I like to tell it like it is. And you know, if I'm the kind of person who's going to spend the kind of money on it that they cost up here in Canada, I want to get my money's worth. There have been a lot of them over the years that I've watched at a friend's house or something. I've been invited over. And at the end of it, I'm saying, wow, I'm glad I didn't pay for that, because it was just a complete abomination. It wasn't worth I've seen Monday Night Raws on TV for free that were better than some of the pay-per-views. But, you know, I've got nothing to gain or lose by sugarcoating the WWE pay-per-views or TNA pay-per-views. And, you know, if I don't like it, you're going to hear about it. And if I do like it, well, you know, I'm going to let you know that too. So next week we'll talk about the Money in the Bank pay-per-view.
Well, that's great. That's why I'm asking you to do it, because, you know, we've got a very interesting fan base here. And they're very interested in your opinion, and so am I. I mean, I don't. I'm kind of busy. I don't watch a lot of things, but I like it when you talk about it, because you give the fan's eye view, the point of view of the person, the consumer. You know, if you pay X amount of dollars, did you get X amount of show? If you didn't, well, you failed. And if you did, this is like the movie Avatar.
Mm-hmm.
How much did it cost to make?
I don't know what it cost to make, but it was a fairly expensive movie. But I know for the longest time, I know you went, I believe it was for your birthday you went to see Avatar, wasn't it? Somewhere around
your
birthday.
I don't remember what day it was.
But I remember you coming home that night and calling me and saying, you got to see Avatar. It's amazing. You got to see it, you know, in 3D. And I was kind of like, well, it's not something that really appealed to me. I really wasn't interested in these weird green people running around in their strange little world. But I finally went to see it in 3D, and I was blown away. It was an incredible movie. I would highly recommend, you know, anybody that could see it. I was only disappointed that when they put it out on DVD, they didn't put it in 3D on DVD with the glasses. So, like a lot of them are doing these days, unfortunately, that one didn't come out in 3D on DVD. So,
well, when you said it was fairly expensive, no, it wasn't fairly expensive. It was the most expensive movie ever made.
That's fairly expensive.
And, No, that's extremely expensive when you break a record of most money spent. It was also the most money taken in.
Exactly.
And the other expensive movie was Titanic, made by the same James Cameron. And
Which is my favorite movie of all time, Titanic.
I'd just like to say that in both movies, James Cameron, who I have great respect for as a director, is nothing but a no-good whore, because he accepts money from Big Tobacco, and he has smoking in all his movies. And this is just the way I, you know, and I know he's a Canadian, and that has nothing to do with it. He's a whore. Because, and he's worse than that, he's a murderer. Because here's the deal. Children are very much influenced by movies. And smoking is the number one cause of preventable death. And it is movies that make people start smoking. It's proven fact by psychologists. Because when a child starts rebelling against his parents, he sees movies like this where they glamorize it, and that makes them want to smoke. And then if they get addicted, then they're going to die from it. This is smoking. The one out of three people that start smoking die of smoking-related deaths. So I don't mean to get on a soapbox, but if you, the title is Who's Slamming Who, and the body of this is I'm Slamming James Cameron. Is he successful? Yes. Is he brilliant? Yes. Is he perhaps the greatest? Hey, listen, he's all of that. But on the same token, let me just say that he's a liar, he's a murderer, and he's a thief, and he's stealing. You know, as much bad as I can say about him, and as much good as I like to say about him, he is both. Just because you're successful doesn't mean you're good. You know, it's like, is he great? Undoubtedly. Is he good? Absolutely not. And he's an arrogant person. You know, success does that for you. And here's the story. The game's not over yet. You wait. Just you wait. His karma is coming for him. Now, you know, I don't want to get all riled up, but this is the way I feel. I am dedicating the rest of my life to helping children not smoke. And you're even trying to get me in Prince Edward Island to go to all the schools there.
Exactly.
And, you know, unfortunately, I'm not as popular as Avatar and Titanic, the two greatest movies ever made. I'm going to make a movie called Ninja. You know, so...
which I'm excited,
you know,
to see. I really am.
What's that?
And you laugh at me because... you know, when you sent me a copy of Curse of the Wolf and I told you I couldn't wait for it to arrive, and you were kind of like, okay, well, you know, see if you say that after you get it. And I watched it and loved it. My friends and I like watching, you know, some of those low-budget horror movies and stuff, and, you know, it was great. I've watched it 3 or 4 times already, you know, so I'm really looking forward to seeing the new movie, because it's always a little more interesting when you know people that are in the movie too, you know, so it kind of gives you a little more reason to want to watch them too, so.
Let me just say this, because I don't want anybody to think that I'm bad-mouthing my own movie.
Oh, gosh.
I love those people that put this together, and I very much appreciate being asked back. The fact that they asked me to come back. See, for example, coming up soon, we don't have it on the news section of the website yet, because the dates are not written in stone, and the schools are not either. But... I am going back to the same superintendent of schools. His name is Dr. Livingston, I presume. His name is Tom Livingston. He's a PhD, and he's a superintendent. And he's had me before, and I'm going back. As a matter of fact, because he's friends with a lot of superintendents, I'm going to be doing several speeches in several schools. And it's going to be the same content always. No smoking, you know, and I also understand that James Cameron has the ocean to work with, and I have an eyedropper, but one by one, I'm gonna do this the rest of my life. I've got something to live for. I'm going to help the children, and the people that start smoking are susceptible to the 5 nightmares of youth, and they are bad grades, dropping out of school, drugs and alcohol, teenage pregnancy, and teenage suicide. So, and I did not make this up. I actually Googled it. You can too. For some reason, non-smokers don't do drugs. Non-smokers get better grades than smokers. Non-smokers don't drop out of school. Non-smokers don't get pregnant while they're in high school, and non-smokers don't commit suicide. That's not true in every case, but that's the way to bet.
Oh, some very interesting facts to know. I wasn't aware of some of those things, but you know, I believe it. It's like you say, it's out there. It's proven facts, and they're available to anybody that wants to look them up. So, and I think it's wonderful that what you do. I mean, I know my nephews Mason and Cody. Read your book all the time. You set up your Wrestling with Ryan book, and they've gone on YouTube and seen some highlights of your presentations in schools, and they ask all the time, will Andy ever come to our school and do his presentation for us? And I said, well, we're working on it. Andy'd like to come up, and we're trying to work out the logistics of having that happen, and to be able to cover as much territory as possible when you do come. So, the kids are very they're very open to what you're saying, especially in the way you present it. It's geared towards younger children, and you know, they get into it. You have them participate, and I know, you know, even when I was in elementary